something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and in the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He looks suspicious.
What?
You look like you're up to something.
Never.
Joe Coy.
Like that? He just does.
Let's get this party started.
Joe Coy.
Thank you. Joe Coy is here.
Yes.
You do look suspicious, though.
No, I don't look suspicious.
You look kind of undercover.
This is what
I've
you
never
do
seen you every... in Prada, Joe Coy, ever.
I always rock Prada.
Really?
Every single special I'm rocking Prada.
Oh, I never noticed.
I've never seen your special.
Never seen your special.
I have watched Joe Coy's specials.
Good. That was good, Angela. You probably haven't. Have you?
Yes. What are you looking at me like that?
Because you do this. You do this thing where you lie with confidence.
I am not a liar, Joe Coy.
Well, quiz
huh?
Okay. Quiz him. Okay.
No, because if I quiz him, then it's going to look really bad. Then he's going to admit to it. I'd rather just let him say he's seen it, and then I'll just leave
him. I have seen Joe Coy's specials.
Okay, what is a tabo?
What is a tabo?
See,
it's something Filipino. I know that much. That
don't mean this is a tabo.
Yeah, that's a tabo. He's not going to get it.
But it is Filipino.
Because you didn't see it.
It's Filipino for cup.
I hate you so much. Like,
it's not?
No, it's not.
Oh, I don't know. I just know it is something Filipino.
Can you
though,
just watch it?
I have watched it.
You haven't watched it. It came out last night.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't say the one last night. You said a special. You didn't say which one.
It's his fourth one.
This is going bad.
You know, he didn't say which one.
Can you watch my new special, please?
I will watch your new special. And I've watched them before, but I haven't seen the new one.
I love you, Charlamagne.
Yes.
So you love him back.
Joe Coy knows. I text Joe Coy and tell him I love him for no reason.
That is kind of messed up when someone says I love you and you say yes.
Yes. Yeah, what is that?
You didn't even say I love you.
All right, tell me again. Yeah. Tell me again.
But now it's not the same.
No, tell me again. Tell me again. Tell me again.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I love you, DJ Envy.
I love you.
See how natural?
You didn't say it to him. You said it to him, not me.
Say it to me.
Love you, Angela.
Thank you.
Oh, what?
Give me another chance.
No.
I love you so much.
Okay.
No.
No, man. Where are we going? How is everything, brother?
Everything's good. This has been the best run ever. I'm living a dream right now. So.
You're making a lot of money, Joe Coy.
Man,
you are making a lot of money. That's what the measurement is.
It's
of course,
Los
you're
Angeles
funny,
forum,
but you're making
too,
a lot of money, Jokoi.
Yeah.
That crowd looked amazing for you to be in the forum like that and to see how many people fit in there.
That was 14,000, but I did two shows.
Okay.
I did four total.
I did 14,000, but
I did four total.
So that's 56,000 people.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
So you got to be top five stand-up touring comic right now, right?
It's pretty crazy. It's crazy to actually add another arena. Like, I just did it again. I sold out the Honda Center in Anaheim, so we added another Honda Center. It's like, it's crazy. And I've been doing this. I did two Chase Centers during the playoffs. So it was like Jokoi, then the Warriors, then Jokoi, and then the Warriors on the same weekend.
Wow.
And it was like, I get to enjoy this with my son. That's the best part.
And we've seen the growth, though. That's the crazy thing.
We've
seen the growth from when you first came here to where you're at now.
When you came to Caroline's, and you know who didn't come? These two.
But where did I go?
You did come. I'm not. You're right.
Yeah, don't play with
where
me.
Where did I come?
You know what? You're right. I'm not even going to. You're right.
Where did I come, Jokoi?
It's this asshole right here.
Jokoi, I
watched. Ask him again,
Charlamagne. Wait, no.
Ask him again, Charlamagne.
I didn't even pick up on that until right now.
Ask him again, Charlamagne.
Where did I come, Jokoi? This asshole right here.
Damn it. I had no idea where that was. I was too busy being mad, not knowing I'm being set up.
I'm mad that you came back into the New York area and you put tickets on hold for me. I apologize.
Yeah.
My wife was supposed to come and we couldn't make it.
That hurt.
But he didn't even tell you he wasn't coming. I think that's so rude.
Yeah. It was. And actually,
like,
this one did it too. So
tickets.
It was both of you.
Yeah.
Angela showed up.
I showed up.
You said you were going to go, and this one said, I'm coming.
If I would have known that they weren't going to come, because everybody wanted to go, but I didn't want to ask for more tickets. So I was like, all right, I'm not even going to ask. But if I would have known, I could have brought everybody with me.
Yeah.
Angela
had the best time of her life.
Something happened. I forgot what happened that weekend.
Nothing.
No, something
absolutely
did happen.
Nothing happened.
Something did. No. But you know, the special I saw, the one that came out last night, you started off by talking about the pandemic.
I thought you said
Charlamagne,
you
don't do this.
What?
Don't Google shit and then act like you got hard hitting facts.
I'm gonna do Charlamagne.
This is a bullshit interview.
Did you not start the special off talking about the pandemic?
Talking about starting off the beginning of that special. I mean, the masks, right? I mean, wow. Why don't you tell them, Joe? Tell them what you said. No, you tell me what I said, Charlamagne.
What did you say?
What'd I say?
You talked about the pandemic and how it was during quarantine.
Look, I can tell you, Jokoi.
Yes.
What you said. He said, you know, your breath stink.
Yes.
I'm wearing a mask.
Yes.
And you didn't want to judge people in the audience who were wearing masks.
Yes.
For doing that. You didn't want to pass judgment.
No.
See?
But that they were going to get it no matter what.
Yeah, still.
Here's the thing about that special. I had the deal before the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had the deal in place, and then the pandemic hit. Now everything's changing, and we set it for the forum. It's 14,000 people that's going to be taped, and now everyone's wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I was about to cancel it. I was like, I don't want to shoot a special where everyone's wearing a mask.
It's not gonna, smiling.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, in 10 years, everyone's gonna be like, what kind of special is this?
Yeah.
So I was so nervous. I was this close, and then we heard a rumor that LA was about to lift the ban. Everyone else was lifting it, except for LA, and it was the day before I had to tape that they lifted it, and that's why I was able to do the special, even though some people were wearing a mask. But I was like, I have to talk about this. You know what I mean? I'm not going to not talk about it. It was a part of our lives for 2 years, basically. And it's like, I know it sucked that it was a topic that everyone was touching, but it was like, I can't do a special at that size and not at least touch on it.
Yeah, because it is a timely thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so people will look back at that.
Yeah.
Like 5 years from now and be like, oh, that's right. Remember when we had to have on masks?
Yeah.
I just wonder if there's any new stories to be told from that time, though.
No, like, I think it's done.
Yeah.
But I had to do it, Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was literally like, it was about to cancel my show. And you know, and as a guy that's producing his own show, that was going to cost me a ton of money. And I was literally like not even thinking about my routine anymore. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how much this is going to cost me again.
The business side.
Business side. Like, you know, Dubai, I was scheduled to play Dubai 3 times. And all of it got canceled because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And I walked out with, you know, basically not making the money I should have made, but also losing fans in return, because now they're scared. It's like I canceled, they return the tickets, then I announce I'm coming back, they buy the tickets, and then I canceled again, they return the tickets, and it's just like, we had to talk about it because it changed a lot of our lives.
Yeah. So how was your pandemic? Because as a comedian, you know, you're used to being on the road,
yeah,
performing. Did that shut down?
And I think you'll probably agree with me that it was the greatest thing that ever happened for me and my son and my family.
Family.
It really
yes.
was. Mm-hmm. And not for everybody. And I know there's people that struggle, and I realize that. I get it. But we were in a position where we could. Mm-hmm. And I took full advantage of it because I didn't realize how much I missed, man. I was so
absolutely.
I was so focused. I was tunnel visioned. It was the first time I ever spent a birthday with my son.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I know it's awful.
The first time you ever spent a birthday with your son?
Yeah, and I know that sounds.
He's an adult.
No, but he turned 16 during the pandemic.
Okay.
And you know, and I've been on the road since he was 3.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's like
you can't say don't schedule anything on this day.
I mean, but when you're so hyper focused and you struggle for so long and now you're getting this opportunity to like provide for everyone. Like not me. Like I can care less about me. Like I'm providing for my family. I got my sister working for me. I got my mom I got to take care of. I got family in the Philippines that I take care of. Like, it's not just me.
You don't want to miss your moment, is what you're saying.
No, yeah. I don't. And I want to get that bag.
That
like,
is a hard thing, because even in... Okay, so you have the movie Easter Sunday
yes,
also.
Yeah.
And that's how it kind of starts, with you supposed to be at something for your son at school.
Yes.
And
that's basically...
He's
it was
used
loosely,
to you not making it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where that story came from. It's like, when that pandemic hit, and I'm with my son... You know, doing this birthday with my son, and I was just like, man, I miss these. And there was Christmases that I missed, man. Like, you know, we would open the gifts up on Christmas Day, and then at 5, I'm going to a club because they're paying me extra money for the Christmas show. And it's
you
got to
get
like,
that money back that you spent on Christmas.
Exactly.
Do you think that moving forward, maybe you'll say at least my son's birthday from now on? Did the pandemic make you feel like some moments now? Because you are very successful now.
Yeah. Well, my son's on tour with me now.
Right.
He works for me, and it's been a joy. But what I love the most is that my son finally realizes what this was all about, you know? Like, my son saw Netflix say no to me, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? My son saw me pay for that special when they said no to me anyway, or when I had all the cameras inside the theater and I was about to film it, and we get a phone call from Netflix going, hey, we heard you're going to shoot this special anyways. We want you to know that we really don't want it. Like, yeah.
Wow.
They called you and said that?
Yeah, they called my manager and everybody.
They
said, we know you're shooting it.
Yeah.
Don't shoot it for us.
Yeah.
We're not taking
whatever
it.
You're doing, don't think
oh
it's coming
God.
In. But you know what?
It's crazy that you guys laugh, and I get it, right? But just imagine like being 27 years in the game and people that I took on the road that were opening for me getting Netflix specials, and I'm not getting one.
Mm.
I hear what you're saying. It is a business, and they have to make their calls, right? But I didn't understand because my numbers were crushing on the road. I was doing huge numbers. Mm-hmm. Like I knew my value was worth something on that platform. Like I'm doing 100 sold out shows in just one city alone. You know what I mean? At an improv. Like these are all over the country. So
you technically didn't need Netflix's validation.
I get that, but it's like I knew that was the platform that was going to take me to the next level, and I knew they were in the position of power to give me that, but they weren't going to give me the opportunity to put my special on, and I don't hate Netflix for it. It's a business decision that they made. I just had to prove to them that they needed this special.
Why would they say no with those numbers? I don't understand what
I didn't understand either.
It just wasn't his time.
So what was
no,
Charlamagne?
It just wasn't your time.
Well, you can say that, but no, it's not that. It was more than that. You know, there's more.
Was it racism?
I mean, I'm not. Whatever the fact is, like, you can only say His voice is too specific for so long without it, without you getting offended by that.
What was the turning point?
But like, the turning point was me shooting it myself, cutting it myself, and then bringing it to him and going, "Hey, look, watch it, please. I know you said no, just watch it.
Please like me.
Yeah, not even please like me. Watch it." And when they watch it, they realize, like, yeah, this needs to be on our platform.
Did it turn you off, though, from wanting to be on Netflix? Because that's interesting to me that they told you, you know, even though you know you had the numbers, you knew you were crushing it, you went and filmed it yourself, even though you were filming it and they told you, we don't want it, but yet you still knew that was the particular platform, even though there's other platforms you could have.
There were none at that time. Okay. I mean, not at that time, not doing what they were doing for stand-up comedy at that time. And at that time, that was when they were... They made this push for original stand-up specials. So they went after Rock. They went after Chappelle. They went after all these guys to come out of retirement and do a new special.
Who all talk to a very specific audience, too, by the way.
Exactly. But, okay, but that's the thing about Hollywood, Charlamagne. It's like there's only two specific audiences that are allowed to, that are allowed to be heard.
Black and white.
Yeah. Black and white. Right. And then, and not all white, like, you know, I do a joke on my special where it's not even a joke. I just say it's like I don't know the difference between Jeff Foxworthy's accent and my mom's accent. They're both American and they both speak English, but for some reason, no one wants to hear my mom's. I don't hear a difference between my mom going,
"Does your mom got jokes?"
I don't see the difference between my mom going, "What would you like for breakfast?" or Jeff Foxworthy going, "Hey, what would you like for breakfast?" It's, I don't understand. What do you mean by the specificness?
Right.
I don't get it.
I will say this, though. When you first came up here a long time ago, I didn't know who you were.
I did. See?
I heard the name. I didn't know who you were. But
I used to watch Chelsea all the time.
Thank you.
I never did. But when you came on the Breakfast Club, it made me like you as a person.
Thank you.
And that's what made me say, you know what? I'm going to go to his comedy show. Well, let's see if he's good. And then when I went to the comedy show, I'm like, he's hilarious.
Thank you. That's
what made me support you. So, you know, a lot of people might not have known who you were at first.
And I also disagree that Netflix is what took you to the next level. I think it was the people. Because it was this moment where you just kept hearing everybody talking about Joe Coy.
Absolutely.
Like, it didn't matter. Black people, white people, of course Filipinos, but everybody was talking about Joe Coy.
Wow.
And you could see it. Like, you started to grow. Same thing with somebody like an Andrew Schultz. It's the people that put you in that
Even
position.
Kevin. When we seen Kevin.
Same thing with Kevin. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. The people, 13 years ago, it was the people that got Kevin to where he is.
And, you know, both examples, you know, we went to Kev's show at Caroline's. And we went to your show at Caroline's. And we seen the growth. That's why it's so good to see you guys do so well, because y'all are good people. There's a lot of people that come up here that are assholes, but y'all are good people.
Oh, thank you. Charlamagne, I get what you're saying, right? But like, if you could just understand the frustration.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the opportunity is not there for everybody.
I'm not laughing.
No, you are.
I'm not laughing at you.
What is wrong with you, man?
No.
I'm being serious.
He's rich now. It don't matter. You
no,
can
but
laugh.
It's no,
but it's
better.
Not. But there was a struggle to it, Charlamagne.
I get it.
I get it. Like if you could just understand, like, it's you say it all the time. We all don't get heard, and it's frustrating.
I don't
it's
want
like,
you feeling like that because of these corporations like Netflix, though. That's my only
thing. I understand that.
But it does take a lot of humility to still say, even after all of that, I know how important this platform is, and I want to make sure, and I'm still going to film myself.
The minute it hit Netflix, my calendar year, I'm talking Charlamagne, the minute it went live, my calendar for that whole year that I already had on sale completely sold out.
Wow.
And then we put Hawaii on sale. And this is why I shot my second special in Hawaii. We put Hawaii on sale because we were like, okay, because I only played, the most I've ever sold in Hawaii was one theater, just one, like 2,000 seats. I go, let's do an early show and have enough space to add a second if it sells out. The first show goes on sale. This is after the special drop. It sells out like literally like 30 seconds. I'm not even joking when I say this. So we add the second show. That sold out in like 30 seconds again. It literally was just like, it was crazy. So then the venue called and was like, do you want to add more shows? I'm like, yeah. So we added a third. Sold out just like that. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. They were talking about me on the news. Computers were crashing. They had news reporters at the venue showing people running to the venue to buy tickets. And then I ended up breaking Mariah Carey's record. It was like she had 23,000 tickets sold. I sold 24,005. Like,
wow.
It was crazy. And that's what I'm talking about, Charlamagne. Like, that was the platform that gave me that was the one that let my voice be heard on a bigger scale.
And that's how Steven Spielberg actually saw you, was on Netflix, right? And became a fan, and then you ended up working with him.
Yeah, it was from my second special, Coming in Hot. And we get a phone call from Amblin, and it literally we go, I thought it was just going to be a general meeting. I walk in, and it literally every other person's like, Steven's your biggest fan. Steven loves you. Steven this, Steven that. And I'm thinking, like, you mean Steven from accounting? Is there a Filipino that works here? Is there a Filipino? It's like, you need to watch Joko. He's hilarious. But and then I asked him, and they're like, no, it's Mr. Spielberg, and he wants to make a movie with you. And the power that Steven has, man, because I pitched that movie in the room. He bought it in the room. And next thing you know, like 7 months later, we're shooting that movie.
Give him a round of applause. Well,
yeah. I'm happy Netflix finally got a fucking clue.
And you know what? By the way,
I'm happy they finally got a call.
And it actually worked out better for you because probably producing it yourself, you make way more money and have a lot more leverage.
Well, I think everyone should do that. And, you know, like, you know, Kevin does it and you know, and
Andrew.
People should. Andrew's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I love Andrew. And what I love the most about Andrew, and I told Andrew this, is there's a lot of comics in this game that blow up and they're in a position where they can help. You know what I mean? Or at least scout. Mm-hmm. And they know how hard it is to get in. And a lot of people that make it like to kind of put the door back to the closed position. And there's a few that like to help. And I only know Andrew through you. And I saw Andrew at Gotham one time. And this is before he blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I saw him, I walked up to him and I hugged him. I was like, dude, you're incredible. Like, Who are you? Like, mm-hmm. I love you. And I said that to him because he clearly was just incredible. And I noticed that as he was blowing up, he was taking his crew with him. And
absolutely.
He always shouts out his crew. He produces specials for his crew. And he only puts up talent. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, he's not afraid. And that's how you need to be in this business. Like, you know, like, just because this guy's funny or whatever, don't be scared to follow him. I got that's that right. from Cedric the Entertainer, right. man. It's like Cedric. I remember crushing in front of Cedric. Crushed in my head. I'm like, there's no way Cedric can follow me. There's no way tonight. Cedric's gonna retire tonight. And I remember walking off stage and he was standing there on the side of the stage bouncing. He's like, that's what I'm talking about. Make me work for my money, Joe Coy. And he walked out on stage and literally in like 30 seconds, no one remembered who opened for Joe. No one remembered who went before Cedric. And that to me is what a headliner is, and that's why people like that are in the position that they're in.
That's right.
You know, so yeah, that's what I love the most about Andrew. It's just like watching this guy, you know, having doors closed and he opens them and then he keeps it open for other talent.
Absolutely. But back why representation is important to you, even with the movie Easter Sunday, right? You guys said this is the first major
studio ever
film with an all Filipino ensemble,
all Asian. Mm-hmm. It's the first major studio. It's the first
really?
Time.
Really? Wait, hold on. The first time? What about?
First major studio. So this is Universal and Amblin and DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time ever.
What about the movie? What was the movie with Awkwafina in it? What was that?
Yeah,
movie called?
That's that. But that was a great Hollywood movie. But this is the first time a major studio backed the movie where it's DreamWorks and Universal.
Okay.
Doing it, yeah.
Oh, Crazy Rich Asians wasn't?
I think it was independent, but...
Oh!
What about Joy Luck Club? Because I know before Crazy Rich Asians, they always said...
Joe Coy said he's the first, damn it.
Okay,
why are you arguing with
yeah.
him?
But, Joja Boy.
With,
and you the first.
You the first.
Yeah, and it was just... And by the way, Crazy Rich Asians was an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love
that
movie.
I love the way that movie starts, where she buys
everything.
The hotel.
Oh, that whole movie.
That's
like,
the kind of dream that you want to have, where somebody's
absolutely.
Rude to you.
Somebody plays
and then
you.
You're like,
yeah.
Let me make a call and buy this hotel.
Yeah, and let me fire you that way. Mm-hmm. That movie is incredible. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was just a great moment. And I was just so happy that was actually happening.
What I like about you is, you know, even though you didn't want to be with Netflix or even with Easter Sunday, you still choose to focus so much on Filipino culture. And
yeah.
I'm sure that when you do things like that, people are like, "Oh, you should broaden it out. You should make it more broad for people."
Yeah.
What do you say when they say that to you?
I can do any. Okay, this is why it's so important for me. And my mom's lived in this country since 1969. Right, she's been here for 53 years. And she's American. She's a Filipino American. And I talk about Filipinos being nurses. I have so many nurses in my family mm-hmm. that live here, right? And I know you've met them too. So just imagine them living here for 50 years, working at hospitals, 14-hour shifts, mm-hmm. and then they go home and they turn on the TV and they watch a TV show about a hospital and not one Filipino is on that show. Mm-hmm. Or they go to a movie and there's a hospital scene and they don't even see a Filipino extra in the emergency room.
Damn.
And it makes them feel invisible. Right. You feel like, oh, okay, I guess I ain't nothing. I guess I am just visiting. And that's what that is. So when people ask me, oh, you're going to tell another story about your mom? I'm going to do 53 years worth of stories on my mom because I'm the only one that's going to put those out there right now. So if I'm going to do a movie about a Filipino family, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Like, this is for her and them. So that's what it's about. I can do all the other jokes. I post it all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll post my ad libs. I'll do improv sets. I'll do all that. But when it comes to, like saying something from my heart, it's going to be about that.
Well, two things. I remember in your book, you said that you started off not doing those types of jokes.
Yes.
And then
you... Because I grew up in a time when... You know, like it's like
you had to be mainstream.
I had to be mainstream, and it's like, and once again, you're being too specific. And like, what is funny? You know what I mean? Like, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, right? So as a kid, I'm watching cartoons that's depicting Asians with slanted eyes and big goggles and buck teeth, and we're supposed to laugh, right? Like if I have my white friend over and watching a cartoon, and that comes on, right? We all laugh together, so that's normalized. Like, so that. To me, of course you don't want to hear my story about my mom divorcing my dad. You just want me to do this Asian character because that's what's accepted. Because the other one, this story is too specific. So, yeah, in the beginning of stand-up, how am I supposed to get into the comedy clubs? Like, I had to do those. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't like I have to do this. It was like, I was kind of like programmed that way.
Yeah.
As a child, I was programmed. Oh yeah, we make fun of Asians. That's how I get accepted in this country. Let's make fun of Asians. Like, so yeah, like I remember this one time, I told this story in my book where my mom and dad are divorced. We just want a color TV. And it's me and my whole family. Like, it was me and my brother and my two sisters and my mom. And we're filling out these raffle tickets. I think we sat there for like 6 hours filling out these raffle tickets at Sears or JCPenney, whatever it is. And we stuffed that little bin up with raffle tickets. And we win the TV.
And people were mad.
Y'all cheated.
People were mad.
Y'all cheated.
You damn right.
Uh-huh.
You damn right.
But I think that's something.
We go up the escalator to get it, and there's this little white kid in front of my mom, and my mom loves kids, right? Every time she sees a kid, she goes crazy. And we're going up, and she goes, oh my God, hi, you're so cute. What's your name? And he turns around, and he pulls his eyes back, right? This is like 1983, and goes, oh, yo, 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 yo. And I remember we're all just like,
it's not funny.
It's not, but I remember just like.
So why are you making it a joke if it's not funny?
It's not a joke.
I'm telling you a story, Charlamagne.
I think you need to listen.
It's not funny.
I think you need to listen,
Charlamagne. He's telling a real story that happened in his book.
This is why.
I read the book. I heard the story.
But I remember my mom not being able to do anything. I remember my mom just clamming up and just going, it's okay, Joe. I knew she was obviously hurt. I was like 11 years old and just looking at my mom going, what was I didn't even know how to react.
Right.
Because I'd never seen anyone do something like that.
Did
to
you
my
realize
mom.
He was making fun of you?
I knew he was making fun of her, but like I was in shock. Like, what's going on right now? Like something just happened really and I knew my mom couldn't do anything. Because if my mom would have raised her voice and said, hey, you can't do that to me, then she would have been the bad person. Because the parents would have been like, hey, he's just a kid.
You know,
what are you yelling at that kid for, lady?
And, if you had gotten into a karate stance, you'd have scared the shit out of him.
This is what I'm talking about right now.
See, worse.
This is why you should get canceled. I'm about to cancel Charlamagne right now.
You little cracker. Could have said something like that.
That too?
Yeah, but let me. But so as a kid, it had to hurt because a lot of the jokes were about Asians, especially in New York. It was Asians.
Yes.
It was Haitians.
Yes.
And Africans.
Yes.
So you never just wanted to wild out back?
I mean, how can you, though? How do you do that back then?
Crack jokes. You're a comedian.
No, man. Come on, Charlamagne. Stop, bro.
You're a comedian.
Yeah, but
he
no,
wasn't
man.
A comedian
like,
then.
When you see something like that, that's not a joke anymore, man.
No,
like,
but back then it was a joke because I even know.
But,
you know,
but back then it
kids...
wasn't a joke, man. Like,
well,
that,
no,
when it's coming
it.
Out of hate and
yeah,
it's a,
right.
a white family doing that to an Asian family, that's not jokes, man.
Well,
that's hate.
I'm from the South, so.
But like,
growing up, we call them crackers, right? But you crack ass cracker.
Yeah, and
but that's the same thing my dad. You know, I went to an all-white school, and
we got the nigga jokes all the time, and that's what my dad would say. You call him crack.
And, we would beat him up.
And then he would, like, you know.
Yes. And,
jump him, you know. But
we definitely used to do a lot of that.
And that's amazing you get to do that. But
can't do that now. But back then, it was what it was.
You can still do it. But you can still do that. No one's got to find out. But no, it's not. It was completely different, especially for like Asian people. They're just like, you know.
I get it now, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
I get why you are the way you are now, because you want to show people the representation that you didn't have.
Correct.
When you was younger.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why I latched on to black comedy so much.
Like, I don't like how you said black.
No, I'll say it harder if you want. Black. The blacks made me laugh hard. I latched
funny.
On to black comedy because
why am I laughing?
I felt like when they spoke, I felt like they were talking about my family. Like when I hear Eddie Murphy do Uncle Gus making a fire, it was like, yeah, that's what broke people do. My uncle made a fire like that. You know what I mean? And I related. When I saw, you know, a white family, even though I'm half white, I didn't relate to it. You know, my mom and dad divorced when I was like 10. And I was being raised by Filipinos, man, and I didn't see that side.
Let me ask you a question. Did you consider yourself Asian? And the reason I ask this is, in New York, going to school, Filipinos hung out with the black kids.
See how crazy it is? Sisters dated black guys. We just gravitated towards black people.
We didn't understand. Like, we didn't look at Filipinos as Asians. One of us. They sat at our table. They rode the bus with us.
Me and Dre talk about this all the time. My sister's husband, and he. This is the one thing he
said.
He's
black, black.
He's black, black. Is that okay if I said it like that? He's
like,
he's black, black.
Go ahead, Joe.
He's a
dick.
He's a dick, dick.
Oh, man.
This is what we talk about. Like, out of all, when black, this is what he said. He goes, like, if you were to date any other ethnicity, it would be a relationship of explaining. Mm-hmm. Well, black people do this, and you know, black people like to eat this, or black people, and learning about each other. He goes, with Filipinos, they just get it. There's no explanation. There's like this common thread, even to down to the food. It's almost like if you eat our food, you're like, oh yeah, that's soul food too. Mm-hmm. You guys eat chitlins? Like my sister's like, yeah, we eat that too.
We don't eat chitlins. Joke.
No,
quite.
You get what I'm saying though. We have
you should have just
foods.
Said chicken. I know chicken might be stereotypical.
No, just stop.
You should have just said
no,
chicken.
No,
you
we did have not,
you
that
should
too.
Have just said chicken.
We have that too. Mm-hmm. And we have the same similarity. The music, we get it. The dancing, we get it. Everything. It's like, it's just like we get it. For some reason, there's no explanation. You love our food. We love your food. It's like there's no explanation. And I didn't really see it that way. I just was like, for some reason, Filipinos and black people get along really well. But then after Dre said that, I was like, yeah, that is true. There is no explanation.
Truth be told, most minorities would get along if they just all tapped into the struggle of being a minority in this country. Because a lot of it is rooted in being poor.
Yes.
Like you said, you talked about Eddie Murphy, and you could relate to that. It had nothing to do with him being black. It's just like, yo, y'all, you're poor, so you understand
poor.
That. Yeah.
And you see it. And you see it through our food, our everything, you know. And you see that entertainment is strong with Filipinos because we couldn't afford to go to the movies, you know what I mean? So you were the entertainment, you know what I mean? You were the singer. That's why Filipinos are always singing. It's like, that was our form of entertainment. So, yeah.
When did you and Chelsea decide to make it a thing? Go from friends to dating?
That was, it was when I asked her to do, like, just a little blurb for my book. And that's how our relationship kind of sparked again. We just realized, like, oh, we like hanging out with each other. And we were just hanging out.
It must have been a hell of a blurb.
You're so dumb. You're so dumb. You're so dumb. I don't know why anyone gives you anything. I don't know why you get a show. I don't know why you get side gigs. You should have nothing.
Oh, God. I'm just saying.
Nothing.
That must have been a hell of a blurb, Joe Coy.
When I say I hate you, I really sincerely hate you.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I love you so much. I love everything about you. My son's upset that he wasn't here. He wanted to meet you guys so bad. This would have been his first time, but
I think I met your son. Didn't I?
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you met him. Yep, you did. But yeah, it started off with a blurb, and then and she did that, and then it was just cool. Like
it was the pandemic.
No, no, it wasn't that. No, because it didn't happen then. No, it didn't happen.
It was
then.
Still. I mean, it's still a pandemic.
No, it didn't happen then at all. It didn't. It didn't. I'm just telling you the truth.
I haven't said anything that hurtful to you the whole interview, Joe Coy.
You better shut up. No, it didn't happen during the pandemic. Everyone thinks that it happened. I was filming the movie the whole time, and she was out in Canada somewhere, skiing.
Skiing so, naked.
Yeah, so it didn't happen during then. It was like after the pandemic, and then we just started hanging out, and it was cool. It was really cool. Like she's amazing. She put a lot of people on the mat, and she's another one that liked to open the door for people. You know what I mean? Like she saw someone talented, you got on that panel, and that's why that show was so good, because she realized her position. She knew that she had a platform, but she needed other people to help push that thing forward. That's why she had Kevin on. That's why she had me
Lonnie
on.
Love.
She had Lonnie on. Like those are beasts, bro. No one else would put those people on.
You guys had.
But she did.
You guys had the nicest breakup that I've ever seen. When y'all posted the video, first I thought it was a joke because you're both comedians.
Yeah. I'm done.
I didn't know.
Charlamagne, stop.
I didn't know. I really didn't know.
We're going to go to a break, and it's not going to be good.
Are you kidding me?
It's not going to be good.
They both posted these amazing breakup videos.
I really did not know.
I was so disappointed. I left comments like, I can't believe this.
I don't be paying attention to the negative. I didn't know that.
I like that.
I had no idea.
I really didn't.
It doesn't have to be negative.
I really didn't. To be honest with you, I didn't even pay attention when y'all was together. I just like, oh, Joe and Chelsea together. That's dope. But I didn't.
I don't like how the words come out of your mouth sometimes. Like it just like it comes out so natural, like conversational, that I think in your head it's always geared to be an asshole.
I just did not. I'm not saying I didn't care. I just didn't care.
No, you said you didn't care, yeah, and that's what it means. It means you don't care.
It's like Joe. It's like cool, Joe. I'm happy for him. But I didn't think nothing of it. It's not like I'm every day. You know how people be like Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian, you're holding on to it every day and paying attention? I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But I follow both of you. So yeah, I would see you guys post videos of each other doing things together.
Cooking,
and then you guys
talking,
posted
talking.
The breakup videos. And it was like the nicest, like...
Follow?
And that's why I didn't think it was real.
Turn his mic off. Just turn Charlamagne's mic off. Just for like the next.
You know
six
the video? I'm gonna tell you the videos of Joe Coy that come up in my feed when you post stuff from your specials, and when you're doing stuff with your son.
So the other ones just don't come up?
I swear to God, here's the thing
I'm
about Charlamagne.
I'm not even joking.
Here's the thing about Charlamagne. Right, he will make you hate him, and then somehow he makes you love him.
What are you talking
he's,
about?
That's what he's really good
he's
at that.
He's a lovable asshole.
He is. He really
yes, I saw you would hold it. I saw this. You was cooking your favorite childhood snacks.
Yes.
I saw this.
They broke up a long time ago.
I didn't see. Guys, I don't know what y'all want
me
to
show. He's showing us what's now. They broke up a long time. So,
see, this is you and your... No, that's not your son.
I mean, we just realized
no,
that.
Your son.
Hold on, let me get to Charlamagne. He's got a separate interview going on right now.
No, I'm sorry.
No. It's the breakfast. Well, I totally forgot. This is the Breakfast Club and Charlamagne. So let's. What is your question?
No, I just.
What
is your question? My point is, I just wasn't paying attention. Like
I like that.
That's all.
And I think a lot of people should be like that. Like,
oh
you know what I mean?
It's
don't pay attention to what you post.
No, just don't. Like don't people get it. People don't get into. Oh people gosh. Do dive deep into like. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like
you guys posted it.
I know, but like the breakup, like people got into it. Like it was like almost
y'all was
annoying.
So happy
it's
and,
like
you know, y'all did so many things together on vacation. Yeah. And this and cooking and Christmas. And it was great.
Yeah,
I
it was fun. It was fun, but it was just a, you know, we're two different. She's going a different direction. You know what I mean? Like she's got her career that's taken off in mine, and it's just. The business is coming first, and we realize that we're just better off friends, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
It's all good. She's always gonna be my friend. I'm always gonna love her, and so yeah, she's a great person.
Does that affect your friendship now because y'all were you know dating? So that was kind of
we're not
does it make it odd now.
No,
weird.
No? It's always gonna be, you know, we're always gonna joke around, but it's just not gonna be what it was, and that's good. You know, I need to focus on this. This is what I've been wanting for so long, and it's finally here. So, I'm going to focus on this.
Have you started dating again?
No, Charlamagne. I swear to God. Why do you?
What? What
What did
you,
I do?
You don't care about my relationships, and now you care?
No. A minute now ago, you give he doesn't a pay shit. Attention or care.
So what? So if I get into a relationship, what? That's when you stop caring?
That's when you start following.
But you want to know if I'm in a relationship.
You're absolutely right.
I am right.
That's a very valid point.
Thank you.
I thought that was a good follow-up question.
No, it was a horrible one. It was a lazy one. He has no notes. I swear to God, you always look down at that, and there's nothing on there.
Oh, my God.
But you
God.
Have had an incredible past month with the movie and the special dropping within, like, a couple of weeks of each other.
Thank you, yes. And this is my favorite one. And I know a lot
Mine
of people
too.
Say that.
No, and you talk, you know,
yes,
I did, yes, I did. And you talk about public sneezing. You really don't like public sneezing.
Charlamagne, you need to stop. And this is what I'm going to make you do. You're going to post something about my special.
But did you or did you not talk about how you don't like public sneezing?
You're going to post something about my special.
I will.
No, you're going to.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
And you're going to post.
Again, and I'm going to post about it.
Joe, number six. In the description for the special, it says you discuss things like public sneezing.
What is wrong with public?
You fucking paper. You this fucking thing.
I'm so sick of you. I hate you so much. I hate him so much, man.
But I do have a question.
What is wrong with public sneezing, Joe?
I'm done with you.
I do have a question for the room. And this really does come from Joe Coy's new stand-up.
Yes.
Oh, man.
What is it?
The question is, as a woman, you talk about eating toilet paper out of our
butt. Oh, my God.
Now we talking.
What? Now, look, now, now he's happy. Now there's
post about that. So now,
I know you talked about, I didn't know you were a foodie, Joe. I know you're a foodie. I enjoy the same appetizer.
You didn't say that was one of your favorite childhood
love
snacks.
Pretty litter.
When you was on Holding Jenna, you didn't say that was one of your favorite childhood snacks, Joe.
Is that a real thing? Because I was a little devastated. Is it true that every guy has eaten toilet paper out of our?
Yeah, you need to see it. You need to see it. You can't tell the middle of it without setting it up, Angela.
I've had that happen from the front.
What?
What?
How did I know Charlamagne would have a story?
It's not a story. I've just had that happen from
Somebody
the front.
Somebody ate your butt from the front?
No. I'm saying you went down on a young woman and
it was
two
people?
Yeah, it was a little.
So that happens to everyone?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love. Come here. No, hug me.
See? Conversation about ass eating. Now you want a hug.
Nope. That's not. Wait a minute. You ate toilet paper out of someone's ass.
No, it was the vagina.
You are a sick. Can I say it? You sick fuck. I knew it, man. You're not. You're cut from a different cloth.
Oh man. So we was kids.
About a girl's butt?
Why would you eat toilet paper out of a girl's
that's
butt?
That's not what happened.
You clearly said that.
I said
he
from
said
the
that.
Front.
Yeah,
you said everyone
that.
Said that.
Oh God.
Everyone heard you say it's fine. Everyone has a fetish.
I said that.
I
from
like
the front.
Toes.
But I remember that in the special, though.
You
saw
like
that.
Toilet paper and butts.
Toilet paper out of butts.
You're like, girl, what is that?
Oh, God.
Is that two ply? I'm in this.
Oh,
thank
gosh.
You.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, my
thank
point
you.
Was. Because
it's not like you can tell the joke. Could you be giving it away?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there's a
yes.
lot of jokes. That's just one. It's an hour and a half special, right?
Yeah, it was fun. That was my favorite one. It honestly is. So. Everyone go watch that special. Mm-hmm. Everyone go watch that
Are you
that
working
special.
On a new one now?
Yeah, I'm already on that. I started that the minute I dropped my special, I'm already working on a new one. So mm-hmm. I've been working on it since like March.
And I feel like sitcom is in your future, Joe Coy.
I want to, and the only reason why I want to is because I want that special. I want to be able to have a sitcom where you see diversity. Mm-hmm. I want to see a family that we don't always see, you know, mm-hmm. that we always see on TV. We've been seeing that for so long. I want to see a family. I want to see a cast.
You know, Mo
that
Ammer
looks
has
like
a,
America.
Yeah, Mo yeah, yeah. Ammer has a special
yeah,
on
Mo,
Netflix, a series, and I,
thought
I that,
love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
That.
Mo is incredible. That was the first thing I did. I made sure to shout him out and text him because, like, that's what we need. We need more shows like that. And him doing that is showing Hollywood that, yeah, you can tell this story. And not only that, you can make money on this story.
But it has to be good, though. I think, you know, we have all these conversations about diversity, but you get the... talented, yeah, diverse people.
For sure.
That have good stories, yes, to tell. You can't just, you know, put somebody on the screen, because if it's whack, then it's whack. There's a, yes, lot of whack diversity out here.
Yes. Like, there a is. Lot. A lot. We don't want to give them shows.
Mm-mm.
But
Mm-mm.
somehow they get shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do want to do that show. And, you know, and when you shoot a TV show, you know, I give up a lot of my stage time. And you don't make that much money shooting a show. So it's actually an investment, mm-hmm, to shoot a show, but I want to do it. So.
Did your son audition for the role of your son?
I should have. You know what I mean? Sunday. I should have, because I didn't want to do. I had a pilot like 10 years ago, and I there was a scene where I needed a kid, and we casted my son. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't hit the line right, and this prop kept falling. And. And then he just started crying. He goes, "I don't even want to do this."
Wow.
And all the cameras are on. He goes, "I don't even like this. I don't want to do this." And it broke my heart.
Damn.
I felt like the worst parent in the world, and I never want to feel that again.
Okay.
And I didn't want to put that kind of pressure on my son, you know, and so that's why I didn't cast him. But
so how what does he do now? What does he do on the road with you? What's his
My
title?
My son is so talented. I really strongly feel that he might do stand-up here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Really?
He loves stand-up. And
he doesn't mind being made fun of.
No, you. He loves it. Mm-hmm. And he's quick. And he's really, really funny. And that would be the greatest bookend to this whole story is me opening for my son one day. That'd be great.
What's his title on the road with you?
Son.
You said he works for you.
He does. But he's also my son, so it's like I can't fire him.
Yeah, that's Joe Coy's son. That's what everybody says. Yeah. Oh, tell his son. Go get his son.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Roll.
But he also does the merch and stuff, but like he can't be out there that long. Like he has to set it up and get to the back fast because everyone recognizes him. But it's cool. And he's just on the road with me. It's just such a beautiful thing, man.
How did your whole family feel about Easter Sunday?
They loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, everyone loved it.
What does your mom say now?
She loves it. Yeah, I know. She's the hardest critic, but she loves it. She's got a huge fan base right now. So, okay. Like, she's got her own shows. They're flying her out to do stuff now.
Wow.
So, I love
that. Do you realize what you mean to the Asian community, though?
Aw, thank you. There's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. Ali Wong, there's, you know, Randall Park, there's a lot of us.
Salute to Ali. Love Ali. Went to go see Ali's stand-up special, but it's something
Wait. You went to go see Ali's stand-up special, but not your friend?
I did go see Ali's.
And Ali Wong actually has a Netflix where she's bringing out other Asian stand-ups.
Hold on, Angela.
Hold on, Angela.
I try to keep it moving.
You said you went to go see...
I don't want to.
Why are you making this a thing, man?
We should make this a thing. We should really make this a thing.
Oh, God. Ali was great, though. Very hard, very yeah. harsh. Great. And you know what's so funny?
Joe
is fantastic.
But how would you know?
She was like really going in on her husband.
Yeah.
She ended up in a divorce.
Ali is so funny, man. I love Ali. There's a lot of us out there, man. And I want light to start shining on us, man. And not just because... You know, we need to give them a shot. No, because they're funny, man. There's Absolutely. Asif Ali, J.R. DeGuzman, Andrew Lopez. I mean, there's another kid that I like. He's not even Asian, and not that many people know, but Mateo Lane.
Mateo! Yeah. It's my guy!
It's like, but like,
love Mateo.
Where's his hour?
Why did you shout out Mateo just now?
Because I just, like, those are people that aren't getting looked at. Like, why doesn't he have an hour? I don't get it.
It's his time. Give him some time.
No,
Joe.
Charlamagne, it's not, man.
Mateo's
Stop saying that. It, like, you can keep saying time for so long, but, like, no, it's not that.
You
like,
think,
how
think,
much
you,
more time do you need, man?
You
like,
think they're fronting on him because he's so openly gay?
No, man. Oh. I'm saying that because why doesn't he have an hour? The guy's, he's incredible.
I love Mateo.
Like, why doesn't he have an hour? And I don't care that what he is. I just know him as being really, really funny. Mm-hmm. That's all I saw. I saw him that night at an open mic that I was at, and he walked off stage, and I couldn't stop talking. I was like, who was that dude that went up
nah,
before
he's hilarious.
Me?
We all started on Guy Code together. Mateo used to be with us on Guy Code.
Do you think that now with all these different streaming services, there is starting to be a lot more? Like, I know Ida Rodriguez has her deal with HBO Max.
Gosh, there's another one. Ida, like, dude,
love
she's
Ida.
A beast, man.
I went to her filming where she presented some Latin comics coming to the stage. So I went to that, where she was bringing out these other comedians. And then I watched Ali Wong bring out Shang Wang.
Oh, that's incredible. She directed it, and that's what I want to do.
Yep.
I want to direct, and those are the guys I want to direct. The guys that I mentioned, those are the ones I want to do. And I'll EP it. I'll do whatever it takes. Like, if these big giant platforms aren't going to produce it, then I'll do it. Like, I know what I had to do to get on, so then I'll just do it again.
So Netflix needs to do a Joe Coy Presents.
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, you present like 3 or 4 new comics.
I like that, but no, I don't like that. I want them to have hours. They deserve hours, man. Like,
but
Mateo doesn't need a 15-minute.
Dave
Mateo
Chappelle
needs
did that, though, for Earthquake. He did a whole special that he produced for Earthquake.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And that's a whole...
And Donnell.
And Donnell's is not out yet, but...
But he did it.
Yeah, he did it, yeah.
And that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that. Like, I want to do... Yeah, like I never understood why Earthquake never had an hour special.
That
drove
funny.
Me crazy, man. Like, there's other guys out there too that, like, aren't seen.
Why you don't do it, Joe? Let's do it.
I am doing it. We're in the works right now.
I go down on a Mateo special.
You go
with
down?
You?
Don't say that publicly, bro.
I would.
I will gladly take some money from
you. Absolutely.
It's the least you could fucking do is give me some of your goddamn money.
So
I would like to have that chain as a down payment.
You know who's probably going to do Mateo's first, though?
I'm doing it.
If you don't, probably Nicole.
Did you not
Nicole
just hear
he just said he's doing
I'm
it.
I'm doing
oh,
it.
Oh, you're doing it?
Yes.
Yes.
He's
oh, this is official.
Are you not listening to
I thought
anything?
You was wishful thinking.
No.
I didn't know this was factual.
No, I'm doing it.
Oh,
I'm
going
to do it. No, we're doing it. What are you not hearing? I'm getting ready to do those.
He didn't say it's done. He said he's doing it.
Does Mateo know about this?
Yes.
Okay.
We all know this.
Okay. Well, salute to Mateo.
Listening? So, Joe Coy,
I didn't take it that way.
How do you?
Neither
is
did
there
you.
A way? Like, how do you even take it to the next level? Now, you did the forum, like you said. You've been selling out shows everywhere. You're working on your next special. Like, is there a next level for Joe Coy?
I just want to. I want to continue doing the specials. I want to do so many more. There's so many more I want to do. There's different styles I want to do also that I want to come out with pretty soon. And but most importantly, I want to be behind the camera. I want to start shooting these people. I just think, like, sometimes you'll see a special and you're like, who shot that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have seen that.
And you're like, you feel bad for the performer, but sometimes these, you know, when I shot live from Seattle, and this is what I love, the fact that they didn't make me, I chose to do it myself. I had to learn everything, like, and you know, I knew how important sound was. I knew how important, you know, getting extra cameras so you got every shot. You know what I mean? I had 8 cameras. I had 9 cameras. I got the spider cam for that arena instead of using a jib. Like, I did things that I knew would be visually beautiful and would sound perfect. And I knew watching my performance as well, where to hit these angles or where to hit these shots. And those are the things that you need to do. You know, like, if it's your special, it's your special.
Right. That's right.
So take, like, grab a hold of it. Study it. Like, don't just go there and show up, man. Because whoever's shooting it, like, you're letting them do what they think you should look like. Like, no, man, take control of it. My director, my producer, Shannon and Michelle, they crushed it. But one thing that they let me do is really go in there and tell them what I wanted. And I studied everybody, man. Like, the reason why the sound is so good is I watched Dana Carvey's special live in Santa Rosa. It was the best sounding special I ever watched. I watched so many specials just to learn, like, camera angles and what the set would look like. And, ooh, I don't like that lighting. I didn't like this. Like, I remember seeing Jim Norton's special, and I liked his lights on the side. So I made sure to say that. When I saw Dana Carvey's, I was like, this is the best sounding special I've ever heard. Like, there's no special that sounds better than this. And it's so crazy because I did Dana Carvey's pod yesterday, and I told him that. I just want you to know, like, I studied everyone's special, but yours is the one where I was like, this is the first time I ever heard the audience sound the way it did. And he goes, you're not going to believe this, but when we went in and we did a run, I hated the sound. And I talked to the sound guy, and I was like, we have to fix this. I want it to sound like... like we're watching Lucille Ball, like we're watching, you know, a sitcom and you hear the full audience. I want that to be my special. And they got all these microphones and all that, and they adjusted the sound. So it's crazy that I gave him that compliment, because that was the one thing that he spent all his time on was his sound.
Wow.
So
it was appreciated.
Yeah, it was such a cool moment, because, live from Seattle, that's the reason why it sounds the way it does, is because of Dana Carvey.
How did that help your overall stage show? Because you about to go on world tour, right?
Yes.
So how did that help the overall show?
It's just, you know, when you, here's the crazy thing. I do that with my live show now. Mm-hmm. So like before, I would just tour with just my mic. You know, I would just bring my mic in, and I have a sound guy that walks out. But now I mic the audience. So I have boom mics on stage. I got mics in the back of the room. And I get the full sound, man. I hear everybody.
It's the energy you get from it.
It is the energy. But like when you play arena, sometimes it hits you late. And you know, like you'll tell a joke and then like a couple seconds later, the laughter will come back. And it kind of throws your timing off. But now I got the laughter coming right through my monitor. So I hear it in real time.
What's that world tour look like? I know tickets go on sale Friday.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're going to hit Australia and we're doing all of Europe. I already did the Philippines and Dubai. That was crazy doing the Philippines. It was a Wednesday night and I sold 10,000 tickets.
Wow.
It was nuts, man. And now like we get to do this, go on this world tour. I'm just so excited.
It starts when in 2023?
It starts right away. I think it starts the end of January.
Okay.
So we're going to finish off, you know, this national tour and then we take off.
Where do you get tickets from? Tickets go on sale Friday.
Yeah, just joecoy.com and everywhere else, Ticketmaster, everything else, man.
You know, I always say you have the best merch, right?
Oh,
you have
thank
amazing
you.
Merch. I had an idea.
That I've worn.
Yeah.
Don't act like you saw he me did. Post a picture, Joecoy. I had the hat did. And the shirt on.
All right, come here, hug me again.
What's your idea?
Let me hug Charlamagne the way he wants to be hugged.
Turn around. There you go.
Come on, little pelvis. Bring the pelvic in.
Right here.
There you go, Joecoy.
Envy is so jealous.
No, I'm not. I swear.
I'm never turning down a hug.
I swear I'm not.
But my idea was for you with your merch to sell tabos.
We already did that?
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did it. Yeah, and it's
you
a hit too.
That.
It's funny. It's so funny.
Because I feel like people would buy that.
People watch the special, and you'll get to see Angela's what she's talking about right now. I don't like doing my jokes on.
You shouldn't.
No, we'll just
on live.
No, you should not.
Yeah.
That's right.
But people who are Filipino will know what a tabo is.
Yes, but the world will learn. You know what's crazy is when you do stuff like that, you find out just how unspecific it is.
Right.
You hear other cultures go, yeah, we have that. It's called a someone DM'd me and they're like, yeah, the tabo, my mom has it. It's called a tic-tic. I'm like, what? And they're like from like they're Dominican or something like that. And I was like, what? So it was like, I'm hearing all these.
Your people?
I'm not Dominican, sir.
Oh, yes,
here
you are.
I'm not Dominican.
I swear to God, you're going to get canceled.
He's Dominican. Everybody
Dominican.
Knows this.
I'm not Dominican.
Are you Dominican?
Yes, Dominican. He is. Where's your daddy from?
Not Dominican.
Where's he from?
Dominica.
Okay.
That's not the Dominican
That's
Republic.
Not
okay.
That's not Dominican Republic.
Okay.
I swear. Okay.
That's Caribbean island. We all are not the same.
Oh, gosh.
Good to see you, Joe.
Well, thank
it's
you,
so
Joecoy.
Good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joecoy.
I love you guys so much.
I love you too, Joecoy. I really
thank
do.
Thank you.
You don't love him. If you loved him, you would have went to one of his shows, but that's another story.
Hold on. Are you going to come to Madison Square Garden? It's November 10th.
I'm there.
That's a damn
lie.
He said it too fast.
Bro,
I'm there.
What day is that?
I don't know. It don't matter. I'm there. I'm putting it on my calendar now. I am there. November 10th. Let me see when that is.
All right. Joecoy, if he doesn't show up November 11th, you
Thursday.
It's done.
Okay.
You're taping your show on Thursday.
What time is the show?
See? Here it goes.
It's November 10th, man.
No, if it's like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I can make it. Easy.
What time do you think my show is? 5 in the afternoon? You think I'm doing a matinee? What kind of asshole question is that? You think I'm doing a lunch show at Madison Square Garden? Come see Joecoy live?
I don't know.
Noon sharp? What, I think I can make it, Joe. I tape.
We're there.
When do you tape your show?
Like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so you think I'm doing a show at 3? Like an after school special?
Mm-mm-mm. We're there. I'm there. November 10th. I'm coming to see Joecoy.
All right.
I promise. I'm there. That's my word is
Breakfast Club. It's Joecoy.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.